This week we're going to be looking at 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verses 6 through 11. It's towards the end of Peter's letter, his first letter. And as he gets towards the end of his letter, he kind of throws a couple of things together that he says, hey, these are some important things for you to think about on the steps of the spiritual journey. So listen to these words that come from the Apostle Peter. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in your faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered for a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Some wonderful, absolutely wonderful words that Peter shares with young believers and new believers in the faith. One of the things that I'm very conscious of that I'm not so sure most churches or most people are even conscious of is that what we are part of now is a spiritual journey. As Americans, we like to ask the question, are we there yet? Because it's all about getting there. It's all about arriving there. It's all about being part of what happens there. And by the way, when you get there, if you don't take a picture, you didn't really do it. Amen? Right? You got to have a picture once you get there, or you didn't really do it. That's all the American way about things. That's not the spiritual way, by the way. The spiritual way is about continuing to take steps. It's the journey is more important. As a Christian, our destination has already been solved. Amen? Our destination has already been solved. If I die today, I know where I will end up for all eternity. I don't have to ask, am I there yet? I'm going to be there. It's going to happen. That has already been solved because I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior and as my Lord. The destination has already been solved. It's not worth asking the questions anymore, are we there yet? By the way, if I meet you in the morning sometime and I ask you how you are today, most people's response a lot of times is, well, I'm on this side of the soil. And things are better than what they could be. Well, I'm still alive. I'm still breathing. I don't know what those people's Bible reads like. Because my Bible reads that when I die, it's a better place than here. It is a better place than here. So to quote one of my friends who I did his stepdaughter's wedding a few weekends ago, and he died about 4 years ago. I would go and visit with him in his last days, and I would say, Danny, how are you today? He said, well, if I win, or if I live today, I win. And if I die today, I win. So it's a win-win situation for me. And I always like that attitude from Danny. It's a win-win situation. Yes, I want to walk here longer on earth. I want to walk the spiritual journey here longer upon the earth. And so since I want to walk that journey, I need to listen to what Peter says to these folks in his first letter. And one of the things that he says is he says in our relationship with God, we must remain humble and realize that we are not the ones who are able. I must remain humble And I must realize that I am not the one who is able. God is the one who is able. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live in Christ." It's not me. I may be successful from day to day, but I need to be humble before God and realize that God is the one who has empowered me and helped me to live that way. It's all about God. It's not about me. And you guys have heard me say this before. When I die, I don't want anybody to remember me. I want to fade into the woodwork of the cross so that people only see Jesus Christ. It's not about me. I know who I am, and very fortunately, you guys don't know who I am. Otherwise, you wouldn't have hired me. Okay? I know who I am. It's about what God does through me now. And I need to remain humble before God. And I need to realize that God is the one who empowers me and enables me to do that. It's not myself. The second thing that Peter talks about here is something I've needed this week and something I've tried to listen to this week and something I've tried to listen to for my whole life, because my grandma taught me the exact opposite of what Peter says here. When anxiety comes to us, we must cast it upon God, letting God carry it. When anxiety comes upon us, we must cast it upon God, letting God carry it. I don't know about you. I hope you're not in the same boat that I'm in. I love to carry anxiety around with me. I love to drag it from place to place. And I can even leave it at places sometimes. But before I leave that place, I got to drag it back out the door with me. How about you? Have you drug anxiety around long enough that you're willing to let it go? The image that is here that Peter is giving, it's as though casting a blanket over a horse. It's as though casting a net out into the waters. It's as though, I did watch a video the other day of a guy casting a net. And I'm sorry, but it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen because he forgot to let go of it. And he got those weights swinging at the end of that net and got it going so that he could cast it out. And he didn't let go, and off he went with the net. And you know what? Sometimes that's what we do with anxiety, don't we? We grab a hold of it so tight, so firmly, that when we try to cast it off, it upsets the balance for our whole lives. And maybe we've done that once, and we don't want to be embarrassed again by being upset by our own anxiety and being set off balance, so we don't even try to cast it off anymore. We just carry it. And we take it with us. This verse is one of the verses that I memorized as a young Christian and that God continually brings back to me. Casting all your anxiety upon Him, because He cares for you. Because of God's deep and wonderful care for me, I can cast the anxiety away. Now, my mom's mama taught me to do exactly the opposite. We couldn't get 2 feet off the ground to climb a tree. She'd be asleep in the house, and we would sneak out the door, and we'd have 1 foot up in the tree. And just as the second foot is coming off the ground, out the door she comes and says, "I told you, get out of that tree." She was afraid that we were going to fall and break something. So she never let us up the tree. After she died, they pushed that tree over because my grandfather built a new house there. And my brother called me and he said, I climbed the tree all the way to the top. His son, Shane, he said, Shane and I climbed the tree all the way to the top. And I'm like, no, you didn't. And he said, well, yeah, after they pushed it over, we walked all the way. And then it was 6 months later, my grandfather had my uncle and I up in a tree with a chainsaw cutting branches out of it because he couldn't see the lake from his balcony. Cut that branch, cut that branch. My grandmother would have had terrible anxiety for all of that. But folks, sometimes I think we're like that guy with the net. We're holding on to it so tight, and we know better. And we're trying to cast it away from us because we know that God cares for us. And we never let go of it. And it upsets the balance of our whole lives. The third thing that Peter says is he said, we must stay awake in our spiritual walk, looking for every opportunity we can to grow deeper in faith. We must stay awake in our spiritual walk. As we had our prayer time this morning, I cautioned them that after a high point in your spiritual walk, it's very common to find a low point. And sometimes it's because we relax a little bit in our spiritual walk. Because we've just come through a wonderful high point, and once we reach that high point, oh, it's just so wonderful. We've done so much to get here. We're going to relax for a little bit. And that's where the danger comes. We've got to stay awake, Peter says. Stay awake. Stay awake. He even says, be sober. I don't think the people that he's writing to had a drinking problem, by the way. I think what he's trying to say to him is stay awake, keep alert, keep your mind straight, be ready for what's going to happen next. Be ready for what God has for you. Be looking for those opportunities to grow in your faith. Be looking for them. Be noticing where they are. Be noticing. That's not even right, is it? But you might remember it since I said it wrong. Be noticing what God wants you to see. The fourth thing that he talks to us about is he says the devil will seek to put us down at all times. We must resist any attempt to keep us from God. The devil is a reality. The devil is a reality. From Jesus' high point at his baptism, he moves from that place. It says the Holy Spirit led him out into the desert for 40 days so that the devil might tempt him. I want to say, Holy Spirit, don't lead me. How about you? But you see what it is we need to learn also how to resist the devil. We need to learn how to move away from the devil. James says this in a different way. James, in chapter 4, verse 7, James says this. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Do you see this? God gives us an avenue when the devil comes. The devil is coming at our life. The devil is working in our life. The devil is trying to draw us away from God. And he says, instead of allowing that to happen, turn away from the devil and submit yourselves to God. And once you submit yourselves to God, the devil will flee because the devil does not want to be in the presence of God. Folks, you can stay right here all you want and wish the devil to go away. There is one way to make sure the devil will go away from you. You draw closer to God and you draw nearer to God and you draw deeper in a relationship with God. And when that happens, the devil can't stand that. And the devil flees away from you because the devil will not be in God's presence. It's your choice. You have a choice at that point. And Peter is saying that. The devil's going to seek to put you down. But resist any attempt to keep us from God. And draw near to God is what James says. Draw near to God. And the devil will run away from you. You don't have to fight the devil. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You don't have to fight the devil. All you got to do is draw near to God. And it'll all be taken care of. The last thing that he says in the midst of this passage is he says that suffering will happen. And when the suffering happens, God will bring us through it and will restore us. The suffering is going to happen. I think you've heard me say this before. Roses are beautiful flowers, aren't they? We've got one in our yard that started blooming. That's part of the joy of having a new house, is you get to find out what somebody else planted before you. And we knew the rose bush was there, and the rose bush is in the wrong place. It's right next to the heat pump. It has been planted. I think the heat pump came later, by the way. But there's not 6 inches between the rose bush and the heat pump. And this year we've just left it. And it's a color of a rose that I have never seen before. It is a wonderful, wonderful purple rose. And I love roses, and my grandfather grew them, and I've been around them my whole life. I've grown them, and we even put in miniature roses one time. I love miniature roses, especially if they're doubles. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll show you pictures later. Miniature roses are absolutely unbelievable. They look just like a regular rose, but they're only about that big. And that's all the bigger they get when they're open. But the one that's in our backyard right now is the most wonderful color of purple that I've ever seen. And I'm glad we just let it go. I'm going to move it come this fall or this spring, this next winter. I'm going to move it so it's away from the heat pump so that hopefully it can grow bigger. And I can see some more of those beautiful, beautiful roses. Folks, roses also have thorns. Did you ever notice that? And there are some people that believe that God promised us a rose garden. But when they talk about that, they often forget that roses have thorns. And here's the other thing I've learned. The more beautiful the roses are, the more the thorns hurt when you grab them. I told you about my miniature roses. They have miniature thorns. So when you grow to prune that bush, you will suffer. Because I didn't really see any thorns, and I'm like, no big deal. I'm going to prune this back. And the next thing I know, I got thorns all in my hands. Folks, suffering is going to happen in our spiritual life. It will happen. You cannot get away from it. It is not a sign that you have done something wrong. It's not a sign that you have lost favor to God. You will suffer in your spiritual life. You will suffer. And if you're not suffering, you might want to make some questions about what's happening in your spiritual life at this time. Are you seeking to grow if you're not suffering? And look at what Peter says. He says, you're not the only one in the whole world that's suffering. You're not the only one. I can't imagine what it would be like to grow up in a country where we can't get together like this. And those countries exist in our world today. They exist. They happen. And those people suffer greatly when it's found out that they're Christians. Our suffering does not compare to what some of our brothers and sisters go through around the world. Some are not allowed to have Bibles at all. Some are never allowed to meet together. And if they are allowed to meet together, they are watched very closely. And if they step out of line, they will be punished and suffer somehow for the way the country wants them to be back in line. There is an open church in China, a Christian church that people go to, but they're pretty much told what they can do and what they can't do. And there's an underground church in China that tries to live the way that God's calling them to live. We're not the only ones who suffer for our faith. And we need to take that as part of what goes on. But look at what Peter says. When you suffer, God will bring you through it. He doesn't say God might bring you through it. He says God will bring you through it, and God will restore you. God will strengthen you. God will help you. Isn't that powerful? It says, I can continue to walk forward on the spiritual journey. Folks, it is a journey. It is not a journey to come down to the aisle to join the church or get baptized. It's a journey that happens every day, and we need to hold on to what these things Peter has to say. Stay awake. Be aware of what's going on around you. Resist the devil. Submit yourselves to God. Suffering's going to happen. Remain humble and realize that we're not the ones who are able, but God is the one who is able. Amen? God is the one who is able. And for that, I can go through anything. I can go through anything if God is the one who is able. So what I want to ask you to think about, and we've talked about a number of different things this morning. What has God pressed upon you today as the next step for you to take? What has God pressed upon you today? I am a firm believer that God is always speaking to us. Always. Every day, every moment. And when God speaks to you, God expects you to respond. God is always calling you to make a decision, to make a choice, to risk, to change, to transform, to renew, to be reborn every moment. God is always asking you to do that. I can't tell you how many times I've been reborn. Yes, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior that one time and came down and got baptized. But there are a number of times in my spiritual life that I have been reawakened, reborn, renewed, recreated, and God's asking you to do something today. I'm not sure what God might have asked you to do today, but I bet already God has quickened your heart to know what it is. So let's take a moment to pray. And I'm just going to ask you to approach God and agree with God on how God's been talking to you today about what step and what choice you need to take.